This is Evan Dietrich Smith, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about a franchise record 23-point comeback victory over the Dallas Cowboys. To help us break this game down, we have joining us on the phone this morning a special guest. We have Peter Bukowski of Sports Illustrated joining us. Peter, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. We're glad you could join us. Tell me, Peter, where does this comeback rank against the most exciting games that you've seen, whether it's in person, on TV? It's just such an amazing victory. Where does this, stand out in your memory?
It's really hard to say because I think until the very last minute, you weren't sure what was going to happen. And I think that's an indictment of the defense more than anything, because you just didn't get the feeling that they could stop the Cowboys at any point until Tony Romo remembered that he's Tony Romo and started throwing interceptions. But until late in the fourth quarter, the Cowboys were doing whatever they wanted. So it reminded me a lot of the playoff game against the Cardinals in 2009, where the Packers defense had no chance to stop the Cardinals. And yet Aaron Rodgers completed what would have been maybe the greatest comeback in certainly Packers playoff history had they won that game. It was the game that stood out in my mind the last time that there was a shootout of this magnitude where you just felt like neither team was going to stop the other one.
It certainly is a fine line between winning and losing sometimes. What could have been in 2009 and what happened yesterday had it not been for a couple timely turnovers at the end. And as you said, Tony Romo being Tony Romo. Now, one question here. Would you have benched Matt Flynn at halftime if you were head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
I don't know what you would gain by doing that. I think we saw what Scott Tolzien has. I think there's a lot of talent there. I don't know that he's ready to run the offense as bad as the Packers looked. I think that, you sort of have to ride it out. Matt Flynn, he was going to give you the best chance to win. I know it's easy to say that now that we saw what he did in the second half. He threw, 4 second half touchdowns. But, you allow a guy like Matt Flynn, who is a veteran, on the road to go out and make plays. And I think that confidence from Mike McCarthy in the offense, I think that helps a guy like Matt Flynn say, stay with it. He's a gamer. He knows how to play, although, he hasn't looked great in any uniform other than in green and gold, which is sort of odd, right? But, he really showed why the Packers had faith in him to turn it around in the second half.
It's an interesting discussion. I don't know what's going to happen to Matt Flynn in the offseason. He technically only signed a one-year contract. I don't know if any team out there is going to want to touch him anymore after being cut loose by three teams, or at least they gave up on him. I know Seattle didn't cut him. They traded him. But it is interesting, and we'll see how it all plays out. I do want to talk to you about the play of this Packers defense. I don't know. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it? I'm not really sure. What's your thoughts on the Packers D?
It's really bad. And it has been playing really poorly. What is truly astonishing is it hasn't been really the quarterback play that has cost the Packers since Aaron Rodgers got hurt. It's been that the defense has somehow atrophied on a level that is kind of crazy. In the 7 games since Rodgers was hurt, the Packers defense allowed 26 or more in 6 of those 7. They had just 3 of those games in the 7 previous weeks, and one they allowed the Vikings to score a garbage time touchdown in a game that was well in hand. So they're the 31st ranked defense in DVOA by Football Outsiders. Only the Chargers have a worse defense. Dallas is 30th, for a little perspective. I don't know that they'll be a flop after this game. The Packers, even for Aaron Rodgers' injury, are still the 10th best offense in football over the course of the season, according to the guys at Football Outsiders. So the big difference between the Packers' defense this year and the Packers' defense in years past is they're not getting turnovers. And you've seen when they do, with the Bengals game being the big exception, they tend to do well under Dom Capers and Mike McCarthy. And they got those timely turnovers during the Super Bowl year. I'm sure you will recall, Sam Shields and Tremont Williams and Charles Woodson made every big play in when their team needed it. Sam Shields had two picks in the NFC Championship game against the Bears, including the clincher. Tremont Williams had that big pick six in Atlanta that really stemmed the tide of that game a little bit as the Falcons looked like they were driving. The Packers defense just hasn't made any of those plays this year, and even to some extent last year.
And yeah, you could throw Nick Collins in there too.
Well, of course, the loss of Nick Collins, the Packers have not had an answer for Nick Collins' departure since he got hurt, unfortunately. And he was still in the prime of his career. You imagine what the defense could be like if he were still playing.
So I guess, did the secondary yesterday make up for a big game from Dez Bryant with their two interceptions? Or I guess what I'm trying to ask is, what can you say about the job Sam Shields and Tremont Williams did?
Well, the numbers at the end of the game, you look at the stat sheet, you go, oh, Dez Bryant, 11 catches, 153 yards, and a touchdown. Well, okay, the touchdown was one of the most ridiculous touchdown catches you're going to see. And so it's hard to fault. I mean, Andy Jennings, not a great player, but he did everything he could to prevent Dez Bryant from making that catch. But they made a number of really great plays, and particularly in the fourth quarter, Sam Shields dove in front of a number of passes, made a great play on a breakup, on a third down play late in the fourth quarter as well. They made the plays they needed to when they needed to make them, and especially with the way the league is now, the rules, that's really the most you can ask for because, you know, the offense has such an advantage with the contact rules that, you know, that's why we don't see shutdown corners. That's why we see the big passing numbers. The rules favor the offense so much. You see the Seahawks do it. Richard Sherman has not been great more consistent in coverage this year, but he's made the splash plays, he's made the interception, and he returns them for touchdowns, which is one of the reasons why he's so great. The Packers' defense hasn't been able to generate those big plays, and that's been the big reason why the defense has been so bad.
Peter, I know yourself and myself had a brief exchange on Twitter yesterday about Packers defensive coordinator Dom Capers. You know, maybe Twitter isn't the best place for big time discussion in depth, but maybe this forum would be a little bit better. You know, what do you have any thoughts about what might happen to him, and you know, maybe at the end of the season?
Well, I think there's some obvious personnel flaws. For as good a job as Ted Thompson has done building a team that is stout at almost every position. Safety remains a huge concern. MD Jennings is just not even an average NFL safety, in my opinion. The Packers haven't been able to generate any sort of pass rush with their defensive line. Their best rusher is a sub-package guy. So when you have three starting defensive linemen who can't rush the passer, that puts you at a big disadvantage. Now, that being said, there's enough talent on the defense for it not to be such a bad unit. It's really too talented a defense to not be playing better. And I think that, you know, part of that falls on Dom Capers and part of that falls on Ted Thompson. It does seem to me, as I watch the last 2 years especially, that Capers, more than you'd like from a guy with the reputation that Capers has, it seems like he gets out-coached, that You know, the offense, opposing offenses have an idea of how they want to attack the Packers, and their defense can't adjust. Now, part of that, again, is that, you know, the scheme limit or the personnel limit what Capers can do, and players have to go, you know, players still have to make plays. That's the bottom line, and they haven't made those plays. So do I have a feeling of what's going to happen? You know, I don't. I think if anything, the Rodgers injury may have mitigated some of the pressure that was on Dom to perform. You know, if Rodgers is playing and they're still getting outscored, that's a big problem. But, you know, that's when Scott Holzinger in there. So, you know, does less of the responsibility fall on Capers? Then you'd like to say more, but, you know, the defense personnel-wise needs to be fixed as well.
I do myself wonder sometimes if it's going to take the playoffs, qualifying for the playoffs, for Dom Capers to keep his job. I don't really know the answer to that question, but it does go through my mind. We're talking to Peter Bukowski of Sports Illustrated here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. Peter, you write an NFL Awards Watch column at Sports Illustrated every week in which you kind of take stock of the league's MVP race, the Defensive Player of the Year, stuff like that. But I want to pick your brain a little bit on the performance of running back Eddie Lacy yesterday and kind of where he stands in the Rookie of the Year voting.
Until last week, he was sort of the runaway for Offensive Rookie of the Year, and Keenan Allen had really come on in the last few weeks, and he overtook Lacy for the first time last week when he scored twice, and then he had a great game again against the Broncos. But I said on Twitter that, you know, after Thursday when Keenan Allen played so great, I said, you know, Eddie Lacy plays Dallas this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And their defense obviously isn't very good, and Lacy, you know, he pounded the Cowboys. And he looked really good in the second half, bouncing off tacklers. It's really incredible what he's done. And when you look at the numbers, and I was really surprised. I looked at him this morning. In the game that Lacy started and finished, so we'll just throw out the Redskins game for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But in games without Aaron Rodgers, Eddie Lacy's averaging 83 yards per game on the ground. And in games with Aaron Rodgers, it's 87.2.
Hmm.
So essentially no difference in games that Aaron Rodgers played and Aaron Rodgers didn't play. And so for anyone who says, oh, well, he has Aaron Rodgers, his impact on the game, you know, is basically based on the fact that defenses, you know, are playing that two-shell coverage and they're playing back. Well, okay, now they're stacking the box against the Packers, and he's still been just as effective. Three of his 100-yard games have come without Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. He had just one before that. So the Packers have leaned even more heavily on Lacy since Rodgers got hurt. That, to me, was a big reason why he was ahead of Giovanni Bernard. He's a great running back for the Bengals, but he's just not as important to what the Bengals do offensively as Eddie Lacy is to what the Packers do offensively. And I have to say, after Keenan Allen's big week, I think the race is in neck and neck. And the last 2 weeks are going to go a long way to determining this race, but Eddie Lacy deserves it just as much as anyone else.
Well, you talk about Aaron Rodgers' impact on Eddie Lacy, and I don't know, does he bring another safety into the box, or they keep it back, or what happens? Now, I suppose at this point now we can look forward. What do you think is going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? Is he going to play the rest of the way?
You know, he obviously wants to. He's not happy about sitting on the sidelines. He seems to grow more cantankerous by the week with Jason Wilde in their weekly chat. And just because, you know, he's a competitor, he wants to be out there. It was pretty clear that Mike McCarthy wanted the media and the fans to understand that Aaron Rodgers is ready to go, according to Aaron Rodgers. And if it were up to Aaron Rodgers, he'd be on the field. And it was really... it's really sad to see in, like, you know, the Journal Sentinel comment section and on Twitter, fans ripping Aaron Rodgers for not playing, and oh, Favre would have played and all this stuff. Like, I cannot think of anything more moronic and self-defeating than saying we want Aaron Rodgers to play while he's hurt. Yeah, Brett Favre would have played, and he probably would have thrown two interceptions. And, you know, it just it doesn't make any sense to me why anyone would want Aaron Rodgers to come back and play before he's fully healthy and risk the franchise. I mean, he is the franchise. So, you know, I think he'll play this week. That's what the early reports are. Mike Garofalo, Fox Sports, who's sort of their injury guy, said the indication that Ed Werder reported on ESPN that the team feels optimistic he can play this week. That would be a great scene in Lambeau to have him run out of the tunnel. And you have to imagine, given how he's played in moments like that with a chip on his shoulder, that he would play particularly well. And the Packers, you know, if Detroit loses tonight, the Packers control their own destiny in the playoff race. That's what's really amazing, is for all the adversity that they face. You know, with Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if there's a team in the NFC that wants to see the Packers, even with a really bad defense, because Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers.
Is there any hesitation about Aaron Rodgers operating behind an offensive line that has at times given up a lot of sacks, and that Aaron Rodgers could potentially, you know, get beat up or re-injured down the stretch here?
Well, I think the offensive line, especially with Matt Flynn and Scott Tolzien, were sort of prisoners of the moment. Matt Flynn does a really bad job of getting the ball out on a consistent basis, and he's been hesitant to pull the trigger at times, and I think that's part of the problem. The Packers have also had some injuries on the offensive line. Marshall Newhouse, I think, has proven that he's just not a starting caliber offensive lineman in the NFL. But they're healthy now, at least to a degree that a team can be healthy in week 15. And when they were healthy and playing together, it was a really good pass-protecting unit. The MMQB does a pressure statistic where they take into account sacks and hurries and pressures and holding calls. And early in the year, they were a top 10 offensive line in terms of protecting the quarterbacks. I think a top 5 even at various times. And with Aaron Rodgers, they were a top 5 or 10 team on Football Outsiders in terms of protecting the quarterback. So I would have much more faith in the offensive line with Aaron Rodgers, simply because I think he could come in and out of plays more effectively than Matt Flynn or Scott Tolzien would. And he's much more athletic than those guys in terms of his capability and being smart. No one's going to be smarter with Aaron Rodgers' injury than he is. I mean, he knows what's on the line here. He knows what's at stake. And, you know, he inspires confidence in everyone around him. I would expect the whole team to play better if he does come back.
I totally agree, and I think you can even make the argument that both the sacks Matt Flynn took yesterday are potentially on him for not just getting that ball out in time. So, but before I let you go, Peter, we'll give a little bit of love to the special teams here. is Mason Crosby making a push for the Pro Bowl after hitting a 57-yard field goal and kind of his comeback from last year?
I'd like to think so. I mean, I think you'd have to look at the other players, and kicker is sort of a hard thing because I think potential game-winning situations affect the minds of voters more than necessarily, you know, consistency, unless someone is having a historic season. But And Aaron Rodgers has always said this about Crosby. His numbers don't tell you the whole story because he kicks at Lambeau Field. That's why Robbie Gould's accuracy is astonishing, because he plays in Chicago. But Mason, I mean, the kick he hit in New York from, what was it, 58 or 57, that he hit like it was a 30-yarder, I mean, that would have been good from 70, I think.
Yep.
He's playing with so much confidence. He looks great. And now, you know, those 50-plus yard kicks that you expected him to make with consistency after watching him kick at Colorado when, you know, he was a cult superstar in Boulder for now, I think they tried him from 70 one time, and he missed it. But it was one of those things where you go, why isn't he making the long kicks? Why isn't he making kicks like Matt Bryan and some of these other, you know, really good kickers? And he's doing that this year. And it seems like Mike McCarthy has always had faith in him. to make those kicks. Maybe now Mason has recovered his own faith in himself. He looks confident when he goes out there. He really has always been sort of nonplussed by anything. Even when he misses, he's just sort of like, all right, well, I got another shot at it. There was a really good article by Don in the Journal Sentinel about that, about when he missed in Baltimore and then ended up going 4-for-5, and he was the difference in that game.
Absolutely. Peter, we appreciate you joining the show today. Good talk on all things Packers in a day following a comeback victory against the Dallas Cowboys. We appreciate your time, and let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
All right. Take care. Peter Bukowski of Sports Illustrated joining us here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks for you, the listener, for joining us on this show as well as we kind of break down a Packers victory from yesterday. And what I want to ask is how did you feel at halftime? That there might have been no lower point in the season. Maybe there was, because I do kind of feel like this was really similar to what was happening on Thanksgiving Day when the Packers played at the Lions. You know, they were getting crushed. The Packers defense couldn't stop anything, you know, at least through the first half I'm talking here. They were getting gashed with the run as they were against, you know, Reggie Bush on Thanksgiving. It happens to DeMarco Murray with yesterday. And I how did you feel at halftime? And I was totally depressed as a fan. And honest to goodness, you know, I write my post-game chips report, and I had actually written the headline. I didn't publish it, but I wrote the headline, you know, chips report from week 15 Packers loss at the Cowboys. I wrote that. It's a good thing I didn't publish it. I wrote that at halftime, just getting my article prepared and trying to set up, you know, what I was going to write. You know, I had no intention of publishing until after the game. I thought I would save myself a few minutes. And honest to goodness, I had chalked it in as a loss at halftime. I couldn't believe what was happening in that game. And, I certainly was a proponent of benching Matt Flynn at halftime. I'm glad I'm not the Packers head coach, and I fully admit the coaching staff that is there knows more than me. It turned out to be the right decision to keep Matt Flynn in. And how about the play of Matt Flynn? I said this on social media. There just may be a spot for him in the Packers Hall of Fame someday for what he's been able to do. That 2011 season, being a backup in the 2010 season for the Super Bowl, the comebacks that he's engineered this year, two wins and that comeback tie against the Vikings. I mean, it was incredible what Matt Flynn has been able to do. And, you know, looking so bad at times. Look, that first half, I kept harping on this for a while. With one series left to go before halftime, Eddie Lacy had 10 touches of the football, and no other player on the entire Packers roster had more than one. They couldn't even operate the offense. They couldn't even distribute the football to other players. The only thing they could do was hand it off to Eddie Lacy or give him a couple dump off passes. I mean, there was nothing the Packers offense could do right besides hand the ball off in the first half. I mean, I just saw no possible way this team could come back and play better, and better they did, I suppose. It to see what they did, Matt Flynn engineering 5 second half scoring drives, him throwing for 4 touchdowns through the air in that second half, absolutely remarkable. I think we broke down the play of Eddie Lacy pretty well with Peter Bukowski of Sports Illustrated. But yeah, Matt Flynn and the job the receiving core did was phenomenal, I thought. You know, I thought tight end Andrew Corliss played very well for a second straight week. I thought it goes to show, you know, how long it takes to come back from reconstructive knee surgery. It basically happened right around this time of year in 2011 when Andrew Corliss, you know, originally suffered that knee injury in 2011. It was right about this time of year. So it's, you know, this week, last week, he's finally showing to get back and back to full health, back to being an effective NFL player. And it took 2 full years. Sure, you can come back from reconstructive knee surgery in 1 year, but you're not going to be the same player, at least if your name isn't Adrian Peterson, and I'm not sure if he's human. So he did a great job. And then the Packers receiving core, you know, Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Jarrett Boykin, they all did good things yesterday. Every single one of them did help that team out and doing a good job in this comeback victory. So kudos to them. On the defensive side of the football, it's, you know, I can't get a pulse of this team. Well, you know, the pulse of this defense and what they bring to the table and what they do. I mean, you know, and I will say this, it's time to write a thank you note to Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett, offensive coordinator Bill Callahan for their, what I can only describe as stupefying play calling in the second half. I mean, I don't know how you don't feed DeMarco Murray the ball more, especially in the fourth quarter, especially when the Packers were within striking distance of, you know, one scoring play, you know, of winning that game, how they did not run out the clock. And yet I understand that Tony Romo did check out of some runs to a throw, but I mean, even so, you know, the Cowboys were having success. DeMarco Murray was averaging over 7 yards per carry. This Packers defense was not stopping him with any consistency. He finished with 18 carries on the game. I don't know how they stopped feeding him. It absolutely mystifies me. They all they had to do was run out the clock at the end, and they throw the ball and either throw completions that stop the clock. And then, of course, you know, the two big interceptions. And what can you say about Sam Shields and Tremont Williams? And how about Tremont Williams making up for an overturned interception call earlier in the fourth quarter, right at the outset of the fourth quarter? It's called an interception, overturn when it turns out the ball hit the ground, to come back and then make that diving interception that I have no clue how he grabbed that. That was a fantastic catch, originally called incomplete there at the end of the game clincher, overturned by replay when it turns out the ball did not hit the ground. How about Tremont Williams? I mean, he did not have a good first half of play. I mean, certainly he was not alone. Many players, you know, didn't do that well. Like we said, Des Bryant had over 150 yards receiving, 11 catches, got a nice touchdown. They didn't shut Des Bryant down cold, but they came up, the Packers secondary came up in the clutch when they needed it the most. And, you know, the Packers, they weren't helped by any pass rush in the first half of the game. There was absolutely none. All of a sudden, the pass rush comes alive in the second half. You got that big sack from Clay Matthews and Dayton Jones combining to sack Tony Romo deep in the Cowboys' own territory, forcing a punt very deep that set up a long punt return by Micah Hyde. and another touchdown by the Packers offense. And then, you know, the at the end there, the Clay Matthews sweeping in for what could have been a sack, misses the sack, actually. and you know, everybody thank Clay Matthews for not, you know, coming up with that sack. But, I mean, he did force the hurry, no doubt about it, was a terrific play. And kind of interesting how Clay Matthews was absent the first half and then came up and did play big in the second half. I guess that you could say that for kind of a lot of players on the Packers roster who played poor the first half and then come up with big second halves in that game. They did a tremendous, tremendous job. It definitely was interesting. How about seeing the defensive linemen in the as fullbacks at the end of the game? You saw BJ Raji in his freezer persona. They used to use BJ Raji as a fullback occasionally in 2010 and 2011. And I think the last time I remember seeing BJ Raji line up as a fullback was 2011. But to kind of come back to that, along with Mike Daniels in the Packers offensive backfield, was terrific to see, fun to see, and it worked. Eddie Lacy scores on the jump. The word is that the Cowboys actually allowed the Packers to score that touchdown, so they could get the ball back and have enough time on the clock to hopefully set up their own score. We know what happened now. Packers come up with the game-clinching interception by Tremont Williams, and the rest is history. I am just, you know, in awe of what happened. For a jaded Packers fan, my spirits hadn't been lifted that high in quite a long time. To see him come back from where they were down in that game. And I saw this tweeted by Zach Cruz. Yeah, I think he cited Pro Football Reference in saying the Cowboys had a 99.7% chance of winning at halftime. 99.7. Up 23 points. Well, it was 26-3, right, at halftime. So it would have taken more than three touchdowns, if you assume they just kick extra points, to come back and win that game. And the Packers do so in absolutely amazing fashion at AT&T Stadium, where they won Super Bowl XLV. This is a team that has had some success at that stadium. First time they've won a regular season game in Dallas since 1991, I think. Remarkable what the Packers were able to achieve and to stay alive in the NFC North standings, setting up tonight's Monday Night Football matchup between the Lions and the Baltimore Ravens. Lions hosting the Ravens tonight with NFC North implications. If the Lions happen to lose, the Packers control their own destiny. Now, they don't necessarily need the Lions to lose. They just have to lose once, at least once, over the course of the last three games of the season. But certainly, I think there will be a lot of attention on tonight's Monday Night Football game. And I mean, how lucky ESPN is. They must be loving it. How many implications there are around the nation on this game. You know, the Packers and the Bears, both of them are hoping the Lions lose. And then in the AFC, the Miami Dolphins are hoping the Baltimore Ravens lose. So, I mean, there is interest nationwide in this game. ESPN has just got to be loving it. You know, how many people are going to tune in tonight to this game? I think this game's going to see astronomical, television ratings because of it. And it is interesting. So I think a lot of people will be tuning in. But, you know, that'll do it here on a Monday morning edition of Railbird Central as we kind of looked back at a Packers victory over the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday to stay alive for a playoff spot and you know, tying the franchise best 23-point comeback victory. Absolutely scintillating, amazing, astonishing, any other adjective you can come up with. I'm speechless in a way. It's hard to describe what I saw yesterday. I never thought it would happen, and it did. So it's a great day to be a Packer fan. Enjoy your victory Monday, everyone. As we won't be back until Wednesday here on Railbird Central. We'll be joined for our weekly Wednesday conversation with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. We'll talk to him on Wednesday. So on behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirivu. We'll see you later, everyone. Stay tuned to CheeseheadTV.com for all your news needs all week long. Until Wednesday, we'll see you later. I'm Brian Kirivu. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.